as we worship the Lord today. We pray that you will be blessed and strengthened and encouraged by our worship. We know things are a little bit different, but we can worship the Lord anytime, any place, any format. And so we're so thankful that you tuned in to worship with us today. We hope that you're blessed by the Word of God. We want to begin our worship. We're going to sing a couple songs, and we'll move further in our worship today. Again, welcome to our broadcast.
Oh,
holy in all of his ways. He's awesome. He's righteous in all of his doings. And I've learned that everything that the Lord does is right and is good. Amen. And so, we just got to learn to trust him. Trust him even more. He's a good God. He's a great God. And he is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Let's sing, Lord, You Are Good.
Yeah! Amen. Sure want to thank God for these psalmists, our musicians, and media. We appreciate each and every one of you for your gifts, your talent. Grateful to God for sometimes God will push you into something. And clearly, this is our first time actually streaming. We'll be doing it from now on. We're working on setting up some things on a more permanent basis. For those of you who are struggling a little bit to get online, we will provide further instructions. And so we're sorry that you will be able to catch up on this a little later. It will be saved. And so again, we've got a lot to thank God for. So grateful for the privilege of being able to worship and to be here today. There's a word from the Lord in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. One day, doesn't say exactly where, doesn't say what time, but in a certain place, Jesus was with his disciples, and Jesus was praying. And when he got done praying, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. There is a fifth generation of family in our congregation, and the third generation has a young man who is a deacon at our church. It's a fifth generation family, but in that third generation, there's a man who is one of our deacons, and when he prays, every time he says, bow your head and close your eyes. But the truth is, I don't believe everybody closes their eyes when the congregation is together and it's time to pray. Every once in a while, I think I would just open my eyes to see who doesn't have their eyes closed when it's time to pray. It's not that if your eyes aren't closed, that God don't hear you pray, but the idea is that it does help that to focus and have attention as we talk to the Lord. I sincerely believe that all the disciples didn't close their eyes when Jesus was praying. I can't prove it. I'm gonna ask him when I get upstairs. But I believe some of the folk were watching Jesus sometimes when he prayed. I'm sure that they had a chance to see Jesus pray a lot. But I also believe, Dwight, that they had one eye on Jesus when he prayed, because it makes sense, because on one hand, prayer ought to change the person that's doing the praying. There ought to be something that changes in the person that's doing the praying. And it could be, Junior, that they had one eye on Jesus because they're looking to see if he changed again. Because one time, remember, there was a time when he was on the mountain and he prayed and turned into a light bulb, and light bulbs hadn't been invented then, but he was illumined, the text said, and he showed she was shining like the sun. Because sincerely, prayer ought to change the person that is doing the praying. I believe that they had at least one eye on Jesus, to watching to see if he changed. But then I also believe they had another eye on who Jesus was talking to. Because when Jesus talked to the Father, things would change. When he talked to the Father, the atmosphere changed. When he talked to the Father, attitudes changed. When he talked to the Father, certain actions changed. Because when you talk to God, know that you ought to expect something to happen. Prayer, I believe, will change. It will change the situation. I believe they were watching Jesus and he was praying. And you ought to pray. You ought to pray believing that things will change. Jesus said, when you pray, you ought to pray believing. You ought to have faith, not just in God, but faith in the fact that the God we're talking to loves us, cares about us. Matter of fact, last week, as I was talking about Solomon and he was dedicating the temple, he kept asking God, if we repent, if we turn from our sins, will you hear us? Will you hear us pray? And the good news is that the God of heaven will, the answer is that he will hear. He will hear us when we pray. And when he hears us, know that he is working. Children of Israel, it took them a long time. They were praying when they were enslaved for a long time, but they kept on praying. And at the appointed time, God called Moses, because God was working on Moses and their situation at the same time. Pray believing that God will work on your behalf. I'm excited to know that in my life, God has moved and God has worked on my behalf. And here's what I've discovered. Truly, sometimes God he's working, and sometimes he does some things without. He works without. He works on situations on the outside. But moreover, I've discovered, not only can he change what's going on the outside, but sometimes God does not leave. He doesn't do a cotton-picking thing to anything that's going on the outside, but then he does something to me on the inside. God can answer prayer by changing surroundings, but then God can answer prayer by changing your heart and give you peace. Grandmama said, in the midst of the storm, sometimes the storm keeps on raging, but the good God we serve can give us peace in the midst of the storm. One of the most beautiful pictures I recall, it was a picture, I'll never forget it, was a picture of a storm. And in that storm, the wind was blowing. It was summer or spring. The wind was blowing, and you could see leaves being blown off the tree. And the artist, what he did was he focused his attention. When you looked from afar, you saw the picture of a tree in a storm. But then when I got closer to it, the artist focused the attention of a little bird in a nest, in the tree, in the midst of the storm. And the focus and attention of the little bird was the bird was fast asleep. This little bird was in a nest, in a tree that was in a storm, but he was fast asleep. Oh, good God Almighty. That's a great picture of peace. Because God can let the storm keep on raging. But the good news is, if he watches over the sparrow in the nest, in the tree, in the storm, the message is, won't God watch over you in the storm, in the tree, in the nest, and you can go on to sleep? Because sometimes he changes situations that are without, and Greg, sometimes he changes situations that are within and gives you peace in the midst of the storm. They are there, and they watched Jesus pray before. They watched Jesus pray before. And it's as if one of the disciples said to the other disciple, when he had got done praying, Bertel, it's as if he said, man, I wish I could do that. Sure wish I could do that. And the other disciple, no doubt, said, well, why don't we ask him? Why don't we ask him? You wish you could do it. Matter of fact, I wish I could do it too. Let's ask him. But I'm convinced that when they came to this conclusion that, boy, I wish I could do that, and I want to do that, but let's ask him. I simply believe that sometimes in the depths of our heart, there's fear. I bet one of the disciples, I bet it was Thomas, I'm going to ask him when I get upstairs. I bet Thomas said, no, we can't ask him to do that, because You know, we're poor students. We're not smart enough to pray. We're not smart enough. But then the truth is, somebody else came back and said, yeah, but he's the master teacher. The master teacher, the quality of the master teacher is not how good how the teacher can reach those who are at the heights. It's how the master teacher can pull somebody up from the bottom. One excuse might be, no, I'm a poor student. I don't know if I can learn to do it, but he's the master teacher. Here's what you need to know. You need to know that Jesus is the master teacher. When it comes to prayer, it's not the quality of words or the quantity of time that really makes prayer powerful in your life. And somebody else had another excuse, because I'm convinced Satan is really good at giving us excuses to not do some things we ought to do. He's busy. Jesus, don't ask Jesus, because he's busy. But here's what we know about Jesus. He's a multitasker. He's been a multitasker all his life. He can work here and there, even at the same time. You remember when the man came to Jesus and said, my daughter is sick. And Jesus said, go back. She's all right. She's going to be all right. Because he can work here and there at the same time. He's a multitasker. And he's never too busy to teach us some things that we need to learn. And could it be that he'd been waiting on somebody to say, teach us to pray? No, I ain't going to ask him because I'm a poor student. I'm not going to ask him because he's busy. I'm not going to ask him because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've done so many things wrong in my life. There's so many things I'm ashamed of. But the truth is, no matter what we've done, no matter what kind of sin we've been in, our sin cannot taint his holiness. And I'm going to leave this point because the truth is, here's what I really want to tell somebody. You need to quit letting Satan talk you into talking yourself out of talking to the one who has all the answers that you need. Good God Almighty, I think I said something right here. Quit letting Satan talk you into talking yourself out of talking to the one who has all the answers. He's got the answers. Not only does he have the answers, he's got the power to change your situation. But here's what's even better. He's got the answer. He's got the power. Mario, he's got the desire to change your situation. Won't he change your circumstance? He'll change your situation. He wants to. And it could be that he's just waiting on you to ask him. Then somebody mustered up the courage and said, Lord, he turns and said, teach us how to pray. Just like John taught his disciples to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? Of all the things they could have asked Jesus to teach him how to do, they said, teach us how to pray. I wonder if we were to ask that question, we would tell folk, you have the right to ask God, you have the privilege to ask God to do one big thing in your life. What would it be? What would it be? What would it be? What would it be? I heard somebody over here say, I'd ask him if I could hit that lottery. What is it up to? I don't know. What is it up to? What is it up? I'd ask him, can I hit the lottery? Because then my worries would be over, you think. Somebody asked him if I could just get healthy. Oh, to God, if I could just take this barrel into a pack, man, and I could get healthy, if I could bend over, touch my toes 3-4 times without getting dizzy, or if I could just. What about if I could turn being electric electronics into franchises and have some in California to New York. Man. Somebody else would say, well, if I could just learn to do a crossover. I asked him the other day, if I could just teach me how to teach Trudy, teach me how to get her to cook some chocolate chip cookies while we're on this locked up in the house. It's one of the first things I did, I'm gonna tell the truth. One of the first things I did when I went to the grocery store the first time, I got some brown sugar, I got some Crisco, that yellow kind, the good kind, I got some chocolate chip cookies, and all of that, maybe got some pecans, because my prayer was I could get her to make me some chocolate cookies since we're gonna be in the house together by ourselves. But she said, no, because I don't have self-control. I only do that if a whole lot of people come over. So now I gotta go find me some people who aren't infected. And bring them over. Another sermon, another page. He said, of all the things that he could ask, Master, teach us how to pray. Because here's the truth. There's some folk ain't praying at all. Ain't praying at all. Some folk have given up on God. I'm not talking about the heathen. I'm talking about the Christians. There's some folk. I ain't talking about the heathen. Everybody call on God. Even the folk getting their awards after they done got an award for a song where they done said GD and F-bombs and all of that. And first thing they do, and I thank God. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about believers that were walking with God. Curveball came in your life, and now you've given up on God. God hasn't answered the way you want it. He hasn't answered when you want it. He hasn't answered how you want it. And you've given up on God. I got some good news for you. You may have given up on God, but the good news is God hasn't given up on you. I'm glad God's God. Because you know there was a time I never gave out my cell phone. Now it seems like everybody got my cell phone number. And there's some numbers. I finally reached the point that when there's a number that I don't recognize, I don't answer. I had a number the other day from Pennsylvania. I don't know nobody in Pennsylvania, so I ain't answering. Was another one, had somebody from Washington. I don't know nobody in Washington because I didn't answer, so I ain't answering. I ain't talking to nobody that I don't know, that I ain't heard from, that I don't have a relationship with. Ain't doing it. Could you imagine if God was looking at his phone and got a call from some of us and we ain't talked to him in a long time. But the good news, he doesn't say to the left. He never says to the left. The good God we serve, we see the picture of him even as Jesus tells the story of the prodigal. We see the picture of a father who's willing to hear, who's willing to love, who's willing to receive those of his children who return to him. Some folk don't pray at all. Some folk pray, but they don't pray well. James said it like this: we pray, but it's amiss. We go start praying, we pray for the wrong things. And in the baseball terminology, it's a foul. We pray, but in the baseball terminology, it's out of bounds. Because there are times we pray and it's a total miss. There are times we pray it's a foul ball. There are other times we pray it's totally out of bounds, because the prayers ought to align with the word and the will of God. I'm going to do this next week. Next week, today, I'm dealing with this text. But next week, we're going to go a little deeper on answering how to pray. We're looking at Jesus' prayer life today. We got some people that don't pray at all. Jesus said, he's ready to teach them. There's some people that don't pray at all. There's other people, they pray, but they don't pray well. They have the wrong motives. Their motives are wrong. Their aim is wrong. They're praying what's outside of the word and what's outside of the will of God. But the wonderful thing that really happens in this question, in this request that the disciples made, it's one of the greatest questions outside of what must I do to be saved. I think this is one of the best questions anybody could ask, because even though you don't think you can, you think you're a poor student, you don't think you should, because you feel you're a sinner, you don't think you're worthy, you don't really know how, but here's what he said. He used the right words. Teach us. Which means that I may not be doing, but God, I'm ready to learn. I may not do it well, but I'm ready to learn. I've been hitting some of my prayers have been going out of bounds, but I'm ready to learn. Teach me how to pray, oh God. Which shows a great humility, because they're recognizing that, they're recognizing within themselves, either there's something I don't know how to do or something clearly that I can do better. And it makes sense, because here's what we discover. What we discover is what they discover. The more you see Jesus, the more you get a chance to watch Jesus, the more that you see him interact with people, you'll see that amazing things happen when he prays. A little boy's lunch turns into a buffet when he prays. Sick people get well when he prays. Folk who are dead come back to life again. That happens when he prays. The atmosphere changes when Jesus prays. Folk drop rocks when Jesus prays. Enemy runs and flees when Jesus prays. All of that happens as a result of Jesus' prayer. And my prayer is, God, teach me to pray in such a way that when I pray, and Jesus told us that now when you do it, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I got to close right with this. Jesus says, up to this time, you haven't done it this way. But from now on, when you pray, if you ask in my name, because there's power not in Larry, power not in Rasco, but the power is in the name of Jesus. Because demons will tremble when he prays. Sickness will flee when he prays. Good Christians will become better when you pray in his name. And the good God that we serve has given us a great privilege. It's really not I got to, not I ought to. It should be I want to. Should be, I need to. And I'm grateful that when I didn't have sense enough to pray for myself, somebody prayed for me.
Yes, Lord.
I was a little boy growing up in Indianapolis, and we used to sing this song. Mildred Dillard used to sing it. She'd lead the congregation. Somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind, took some time to pray for me. The song said, I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. And she would go down the line, and I remember one of the lines, she'd say, Grandmama prayed for me. I'm grateful for Mama Seal and Idella McKee, who prayed for me, who had me on their mind, took their time to pray for me. I'm so glad that they prayed. I'm so glad. But then I can get even closer than that. Lars Edward Rasco Jr. prayed for me. Bessie Dale Rasco prayed for me. had me on their mind, took their time to pray for me. Mary and Marzell Allen prayed for me. And I know I'm standing today, not because of my goodness, but because of the goodness of the Lord and the foundation that was helped establish by people who prayed for me. I don't know how you feel about it, but I got some friends that prayed for me. I've got a wife that's praying for me. I got some children that are praying for me. I got some grandbabies that are praying for me. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to know that there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. This message was really, I had to preach it backwards. Because in this message, what it really shows is that the disciples, they didn't know how, but they were ready to learn. They didn't do it really well, but they were ready to learn. So many things that they didn't understand or know, but they were ready to learn. And the truth is, if you're ready to learn, God is always ready. He's ready to teach. You want to learn how to be saved? He's ready to teach. You want to learn how to experience forgiveness? He's ready to teach. You want to learn how to live in victory and have joy in your life? He's ready to teach. You want to learn how to have peace in the midst of all that we're going through? He's ready to teach. And you need to know right in the confinement of where you are right now, even within your house, if you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, the good news is that God wants everybody to be a part of his family. But our sins have separated us from him. The payment of sin can't be done by good deeds. But what Jesus did by dying on the cross, it paid for your sins and mine. And everyone who accepts him by faith can be saved, can become a child of God. One of the greatest things I could ever tell you, life with Jesus Christ can begin today. But the great news is it can last. It will last a lifetime. My prayer is that you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and you believe God raised him from the dead. Ask him to save you and receive you, and he'll do it right now. When opportunity avails itself, You let somebody know what you have done. Let them know that you've made a decision to become a Christian, and then make your way to the house of God. Soon as you can, when all this passes over, make your way to the house of God and get connected with the family, with the church family that can love you, that can teach you, that can help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll discover that you will be blessed by the people of God. And we'd love to see you. We'd love to see you even here with the Nazarene family. We thank God for you, for all of those who have joined with us today, some in the city, some around the country. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. Please stay connected with us through our webpage, mynazmbc.org, and we will keep you posted as to the office hours. We'll keep you posted. If you want to give, we encourage you to give through Givelify, give through PayPal. You can mail your offering as well. Know that these are uncharted waters, but God is allowing us to grow and adjust, and so we'll be sharing with you through Zoom. We've done some Bible studies through Zoom. We'll be continue to do those, and I'll be sharing with you messages as well. We'll Facebook Live again next week, and we look forward to you. Know that if there's any issues among the saints and you want to get in touch with us, don't hesitate to call the church office. Our administrator is staying abreast of everything that's coming in, and we would love to continue. We will serve you and love you as we walk through this season. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes if you want to, as we go to the Lord in prayer. And God, we say thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to speak to your people. Thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the music, for the songs, for the worship leaders. There are people that are behind the cameras and behind the mics, and they're serving and sharing, and they're praying for us. Father, we lift up our families. We pray that you would make us sensitive to the opportunity that you want us to accomplish even in this season. God, we just say thank you. You're awesome in all your ways, and we love you and we thank you. Meet us at the point of our need. We'll give you the glory and the honor. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Thank you very much.